It's Song Talk Radio.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio, the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. We share tips, tools, and techniques, and together we all become better at writing songs. Dialing in from our headquarters in Toronto, I'm Neil Modi, and with me, my usual co-host, Phil Emery. How you doing, Phil?
Doing pretty good, calling in from St. John's, Newfoundland, and I'm full of sixes and eights, because we're talking about strange time signatures, although 6-8 isn't that strange, I suppose.
But yeah, you should be filled with sevens and nines.
Sevens and nines, that's true. It's going to be an odd show.
It's going to be a very odd show.
Yes.
There's no symmetry to be found anywhere here today. except for our Zoom call, because usually there's three boxes, but today we have two. So it's perfectly
symmetrical. That's true.
Yeah. So anyway. For everyone else, please send your comments and questions to at Song Talk Radio on Facebook or Instagram, feedback at songtalk.ca for the email, and we'll share your thoughts on the show. And please visit songtalk.ca to see the show post for this episode, find links to resources we mention, and to download lyric and chord sheets to follow along with the songs that we feature. Tonight, we're happy to be starting our songwriting challenge for 2025 to write a song in an odd time signature. Hint, hint. And if you didn't see the title, you know what we're in for. So another heads up for our listeners, so please send in your answers to the songwriting challenge by November the 10th, 2025.
Yes.
Send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca, attach an MP3, a lyric sheet, and the time signatures, the chords, ideally, but for sure the time signatures that you're dealing with, and a little paragraph or two about how you tackled this challenge, and we'll read your little narrative on the air and showcase your song and do a little feedback and discussion about the songs that we feature. So, yeah, looking forward to all the listener songs, and thank you to the folks who have sent in their odd time signature songs already.
Yes, very, very inspiring.
Mm-hmm. All right, so tonight we're going to be diving into my song that I did for this challenge that I literally started maybe 2 weeks ago. kind of started. Yeah. I had the conceptual ideas for it and the approach I wanted to take, you know, in my head for months. Just didn't get around to actually working it out until maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Looking back at this, what is the thing that you learned from this exercise?
So this exercise, I did set myself up to play with compound time. That's the one thing I definitely wanted to play with.
And what's compound time?
The compound time is when you're running two time signatures simultaneously.
Oh.
So your bass music can be in one time signature, but your melody is in another time signature. Or you've got two contrasting melodies that are essentially in two different time signatures.
Oh, wow.
At the same time. And to be honest, it may be it's a more common thing in classical music or in jazz or whatever, but there is one song that we never featured on our, when we talked about odd time signatures before, there's a garbage song called Cup of Coffee. That's basically doing the same thing that I'm doing. The bass music is in 3-4, but the melody that Shirley Mason's singing is in 4-4.
Oh, really?
At least in the verses. I don't remember if it in the chorus as well, but at least in the verses. And it's got this really odd sort of feeling thing to it, right? Because it starts off, with a basic 3-4 kind of feeling rhythm with the guitars and the bass.
What song is that?
It's called Cup of Coffee.
Cup of Coffee by Garbage.
Way Garbage, yeah. It's a really fascinating song. And I'm always, every time I hear it on Shuffle Play or whatever on my phone, and I'm like, where's that? Where's the downbeat happening here? It's like, it's a little tricky. And they, they pull it off. Of course, they're Garbage. So they pull it off with smoothness and finesse and whatever, right? Professionals. The other thing that I was trying to do with this was I've been trying this more recently. I even did it with my songwriting challenge last year. To be a little more prose, a little less lyric,
okay.
As such, with the storytelling and with the lyrics, and there's not a lot of rhyming in this, and there's, I don't know, and And yeah, and of course I am playing with the compound time, and there's four different time signatures in this thing. Five, if you count the compound time, three and a half.
Five. Holy smokes.
Yeah, because the intro is the same as the chorus. It's 3-4 with the 4-4 melody. The verses are pretty clearly 7-4, although there was a caveat to that. And then the bridge is in 5-4.
Wow.
And then it goes back to the chorus with the 3-4 and the 4-4 melody. But the verses, the other interesting thing I did, and this kind of almost happened naturally just when I was coming up with the chord progression for the verses, because the other thing with this song is that I wrote most of the music bed first. Although I had a little bit of lyric, but I wrote the most of the music bed, I think because of the odd time signature challenge, to write the odd time signature bass music first. And then try and write a lyric that sort of fit on top of it, right?
Yeah.
A lyric and a melody on top of it. But what I ended up doing with the bass music in the verses is that there's 7-4, but we've talked about this before, how you can split 7-4 normally into 3-4 plus 4-4 or 4-4 plus 3-4, depending on where you put the emphasis.
Right.
So my verses are actually, it's a two-bar phrase that goes 3-4-4-4, and then the second bar is 4-4-3-4. So it kind of flips.
Wow.
It's a mirror, right? So the whole two-bar loop ends up being, you know, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3.
Now, did you plan on that and then do the chords, or did you do the chords and that's how it worked out?
I did the chords, and that's kind of how it worked. And then I think I just got the idea to do that while I was doing the chords.
Right.
Right. Because to be honest, I probably did have a line or two of lyric that I was working with. So I was kind of singing along and seeing how the lyric would fit. And then like, yeah, you know what? This actually feels like a 3-beat thing. And then a 4-beat thing, and then a reverse. I wouldn't say forced it, but I just kept with that pattern for both verses, only two verses in the song. So,
wow. Yeah. You're doing pretty complicated stuff. So what was the process? Like what was the first thing that when you sat down to do this challenge, what was the first thing that you did?
So the first thing that I did, aside from just conceptualizing the ideas in my head, was I sat down at my piano and came up with a little ditty. And then recorded it on my phone, just me singing in with the piano, because we were heading out of town for the weekend. And I wanted to get something down that I could listen to while we were away and continue to work on. And to be honest, I didn't really use that little snippet that I recorded. It was just a version of the chorus, really, right? And I didn't end up sort of using it verbatim. And to be honest, it kind of... It actually felt more like a 4-4 thing by the time I was done. I came up with one version, another version. I'm like, yeah, I'm falling back into a 4-4 default thing just because I'm trying to do this quickly and that feels most natural. And so I didn't end up using it verbatim, but I think just doing that exercise sort of got the ball rolling for me and gave me the incentive to sort of, you know, push through the rest of it. So then, you know, after we got back from our weekend away a few weeks ago now, that's when I actually, you know, dedicated some time and sat down and then tried to hammer out the thing. And actually it took me like a day, like sort of 3-4 hours one day and then a couple hours the next day. And I had pretty much a draft.
Wow. Even with all those compound, time signatures.
Yeah. Even with the compound thing was probably the hardest because you know, crazy me, I was like, it's gotta be odd. Right. So I went to 3 and then 5 or 3 and then 7. I'm like, and I couldn't wrap my brain around that. Like that was just too challenging. I was just like, this is getting way too complicated just for complicatedness sake. And then I thought about Cup of Coffee by Garbage and I'm like, they got away with a 3-3 and a 4 and it still sounds odd. Like it still sounds weird. Right. So it still gives that feeling of almost discomfort or something's kind of off here. Right. So then the 3-4 and the 4-4 actually seemed to fit. Okay. But it was a bit of a struggle getting that melody to work because the chord changes are happening every three beats, but I'm holding melodies that overlap. And so how, you know, like if I'm holding a note that doesn't work with the next chord in the melody.
Oh, right, right.
Right. And then it sounds dissonant, or how do I make it not sound dissonant? And it was just like, so I was literally going into the MIDI and like where the melody on my keyboard and going into the MIDI and sort of tweaking it manually to sort of, you know, make it fit both rhythmically and like rhythmically was kind of the easy part, but getting it fit tonally was a bit more of a challenge, right? And it's still getting the melody to flow.
So when you were doing your melody, were you sort of counting out the melody, or were you just doing the melody?
I laid down the chords first, and then I think what I ended up doing, at least for the first couple of iterations of the melody, is I literally turned off, like I muted those tracks. I didn't want to hear the music in 3/4, and I did. We actually posted this resource on our resource page for this challenge, where Joel Gilder, one of the Personas guys, who's a Studio One professionally, he posted a video about how to set up in Studio One your metronome for an odd time signature. And you can do this with any DAW. It doesn't have to be Studio One, right? Because generally when you set up a metronome, you set up the strong beats and the weak beats, right? The off beats and the main beats, right? And the main beats are usually stronger. It's like a harder click. But his suggestion was set them all the same. Set them all the same level. So you're not hearing a downbeat. So all you're hearing is click, click,
interesting,
click, 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 click. So you're just getting a pulse. There's no telling where the one is or the three is or anything like that, right? So I think that's what I ended up doing, right? So then I started counting 1, 2, 3, and then I had a pickup 1, 2, 3, 4 and one, and I had a pickup into the next one of the four, right? And then sort of continued, and then I was just thinking in 4/4 because I wasn't distracted by hearing the 3/4 music,
right.
And then played a melody in 4/4, and I'm like, okay, that fits with the words. That kind of works. And then that's when I had to go back. And then when I switched back on the other tracks with the 3/4 music behind it, that's when I discovered the dissonances with the melody. And I'm like, okay, now I need to just edit a little bit to sort of fudge the notes here and there to make it work tonally as well as rhythmically. So I think that was the kind of trick I made, just like turn off the other stuff so you're not distracted by, because then you're just gonna develop a melody in 3/4 if you're hearing bum bum,
yeah,
bum,
yeah,
bum bum bum, like it's so strong, right?
Yeah.
That you can't help yourself.
Well, 3/4 is especially strong as a time signature too, you know, as a 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. It's like it's almost like 4/4 in terms of how I think natural it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Because I know a lot of Indian music has some pretty complicated time signatures in it as well, don't they? Or
it depends. Like traditional raga music is a lot of it is so improvised that musicians tend to extend phrases and shorten phrases and things,
right?
And
so right.
Time, but you know, even the bass kind of figure of any piece of music, yeah, it could be like a 7 or a 3 or.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. And some of the religious music is often in 3 or 6 kind of thing. But some of the dances actually are in 7. That even.
Oh, really?
Know, I don't dance a lot in, especially in Indian culture, but it's like, you know, so some of them are like there's that one that just passed a couple of months ago. Is one festival where they do the garba, which is you're basically like a circle dance.
Oh yeah.
Right. And you're either clapping your hands or you have the sticks that you hit. You hit one stick to the other with both hands, or you hit with a partner that's across with you. But because there's two circles going one way and going the other way, you hit the stick with another partner each time, sort of thing. Yeah. But that loop. It's like the music is in 3, but then the loop is in like 7. Like the sequence of hits with sticks is in 7. It's like, how does anyone keep track of this? It's like, it just boggles my mind when I try to do it. It's like, holy cow.
Yeah, I mean, your approach is certainly much more complicated than mine is. Mine's fairly straightforward. Now, and you've also chosen to do a pretty slow tempo as well.
Yeah, the tempo just it felt natural. And maybe because of the odd time signature, it was sort of taking my time, make sure I got it.
Yeah.
Right. I guess. I don't know. It just felt right for this piece. I didn't want it to be it's not a rocker, you know.
No.
Or a pop song by any stretch. So
Wow, so your intro is 3-4. The music's in 3-4 and the melody is in 4-4.
Yeah, it's basically similar to the chorus. Even the melody's kind of similar to the chorus, but not really. But it's like a preview of the chorus that comes, you know, 3 seconds later. So,
right, and then the verse is 7-4.
Yeah, but it's got that mirrored 7-4 thing going on.
Right, with it.
And there's not heavy percussion. There's no percussion actually in the verses. It's all strings. So it's a little bit. The downbeats are there. You can feel them, but it's not percussive.
Did you feel you had any trouble going between all the different time signatures, like going into 5-4 for your bridge?
No, because I kind of built it up in pieces and DAW, so I just switched it each time I needed to and just it recorded the next section.
Wow. Okay. Let's take a listen to it and then we will we'll talk about some more.
Cool.
We came together like Jackson Kings, and dealt not random as that. Win or lose didn't really matter. I feel the vice grip from the inside, and the rack stretches me out. I played the only hand I could, trusting in fair play from the start. I feel the vice grip from the inside, and the rack stretches me out. As you tighten the vice grip, the rack pulls me along.
Go
a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, it is a lot of stuff. And of course, the modulation at the end.
Yeah, which is, you were using all them tricks.
Yeah.
I thought the sort of subject matter of the lyrics and the music really actually worked together kind of well.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know, it kind of felt sort of not medieval in terms of, you know, the music, but it had that kind of feel to it, you know, kind of Baroque-y kind of feel. So I thought it worked really well in, you know, kind of the metaphors all the way through. I really like the lyrics. I thought they're
okay,
pretty cool, even though I know this is in a lot of ways more about the chords and the music and things.
Yeah. But it's, of course, it's also about how the whole song fits together. Oh, and of course, that's the virtual singer 90.
Right.
Featured there.
That's pretty handy. Wow.
Yeah, everything's MIDI. And the modulation towards the end was kind of not planned. It's the weirdest modulation I've ever done. Usually modulation is like a tone up or a semitone up or down or whatever, right? But because of the bridge actually, you know, decided to play with the mode. I went Lydian in the bridge. Everything else, the verse and chorus are very kind of like, the verses are A minor. It's just A minor, right? And then the chorus is just an F. Like there's no borrowing chords, anything like that. But then the bridge decided to go Lydian, F and G, F and G, repeated F and G. And because that's where the lyric gets a little more positive and I wanted to express a little more brightness, I decided I wanted to go Lydian.
Ah, right.
So it brightened it. And then F, G, and A major just felt like the way to go. And then it's one of those things where you do something different for your bridge and then it's always a struggle to get back to your thing. So
they thought,
why not just stay in A major for the next chorus? Because the next chorus is more positive than the rest of the song as well. So I just took it from, so it modulates from F major to A major. Like it's two whole steps up.
Yeah. Which is good. I think if you went down to the F, it would probably sound kind of weird, you know, for a final chorus. Cause you want your final chorus to be bigger and kind of more.
Yeah. Yeah. And in this context, I certainly wanted that feeling.
Now you also go from your chorus right into your next verse. Have you thought about maybe adding like a little musical thing, like a little sort of hook in the center in between there? Or?
Yeah, I thought of that this is very lyric all the way through.
Yeah.
And I'd thought of that to introduce a few more little musical interlude bits just to get you into the next part.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. That's something I do want to consider for next revision.
Now, is this something you'd try to bring to your band?
No, and not because it would be difficult. I mean, with enough work, we could probably do it. Hmm. But it's, I don't know. It's just, it's not a Bay Shelter song. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Like you say, it's got a bit of that medievalness to it, or Baroqueness to it. And it's like, no, that's not something we would do. Although, I mean, one of the feelings I had after I finished this thing was that, like, I could rewrite this song. I could take this lyric and write a 4/4 song out of it.
Oh yeah.
Right. And I think it would be, and I'm not sure that would be more effective or less effective than this. You know, I feel like it might be better than this. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like I feel like the odd time signatures didn't bring anything to this song.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know, but I could be mistaken about it. Like, I could try this in a 4/4 and it would just be boring. I don't know.
Well, I was just thinking that it might be nice to sort of see what real musicians could do with this and what they could bring to it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's also a good stretching, you know, because most bands don't play with weird time signatures.
No.
So it's kind of good to have something where you could, you know, kind of almost force them into trying something new and different. Because it's definitely got some neat bits there. And it's, you know, maybe if you had, you know, your singer sing these, like he might be able to find different ways of you know, playing with the time signatures and stuff to bring them out in a different kind of way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I suppose it's a possibility. I mean, hadn't thought of that, but yeah, it's definitely, I think actually to be honest, lyrically, it might even fit as a Bass Shelter song. But yeah.
That's good. Well, of course, you've also done other odd time signature things. This isn't the first.
No. Yeah. Even on my first album, I had a couple songs, or at least one anyway, that was an odd time signature. And then I did my whole EP in 2020 of odd time signatures. That was one of the creative rules of that project. And that was much more structured. Mm. Like downbeats were chord changes, and everything had a drum on the quarter, and it was very highly structured and poppy.
Because you said when you were writing this, you took off the strong beats, which freed you up. But I'm thinking with me, I very much, because I'm working in 7/4, and the 4/4 and the 3/4 are very integral into the way the chords move. In fact, the chords, there's a chord on one, and then there's a chord on, one of the three on the bar of three. So it's like four and then three beats.
Four and three. Yeah. So yeah, which is perfectly reasonable. And you can set up your metronome like that.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you can do a metronome that's 3/4 plus, or you may just make a drum loop
and do it
that way. Right. I think the whole idea when Joe did his video about Studio One and set the metronome levels the same, his approach was like in that video, he literally grabbed his guitar and played the riff that he was playing.
Right.
No, he didn't know. And he knew mostly it was in 7, but he also knew that there was another bar somewhere down the line that was back to 4/4, and then it went back to 7. And then there were some changes in there. So that's why he just had the click going, recorded his guitar part, and then mapped out where the downbeats are afterwards.
I see. Right.
Right. So he wasn't getting thrown off by the thing. The reason it worked for me here, because the time signature was in 3/4, but I didn't want to hear a strong beat on the one and the next one, three beats later, because I wanted to record a melody in 4/4.
Right.
I used that same technique in a different context, just because I had, because of the compound time thing, you don't want to be thrown off by those strong beats, right?
Whereas for me, I needed the strong beats on one, because it's like trying to play along to 7/4. If you're not used to 7/4, it's so easy to just, do an extra beat and then you're sort of off. So you have to, that's been one of the toughest things for me so far. But
But in that context, for sure, you want the strong downbeats, you want that middle division to be strongly emphasized.
Do you think you'd try a song like a, maybe not quite this complicated where you have multiple time signatures at the same time, but do you think you do maybe more of an upbeat song in an unusual time signature?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the electropop album I did, everything there was bright and upbeat. So I have done that before, and there it's a question of having it more highly structured, I think, where the beats are really heavily emphasized and stuff like that, and then it cross brighter and more pop and a little bit higher tempo and a little bit. But I think the highly structured is more important actually to making it sound more stable.
Although one thing is, it's clear, like your different sections are very clear that they're very, that they're different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no doubt that your verse is different than your chorus and your bridge is different than your chorus. I mean, that's very clear, which, I guess it's partially because of the time signature, but also probably by the way you wrote it, because you wrote it in chunks.
Yeah, I did write it in chunks, very, very, very much so. Yeah, and there's a different, there's a pickup, the melody picks up in the chorus. I wonder if, someone just grabbed their acoustic guitar and sang this, would it come across or on the piano?
Now, if you wanted to take this song and put it into 4/4 in your DAW, is that a fairly straightforward thing to do? Or
no, I would literally start the whole process over again from scratch.
Oh, would you?
I would keep the same chords and the same probably the same melody shapes ish, but the melody shapes are going to change. just because of the different time signature thing too, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So I mean, maybe it's a, you know, it's a quick and dirty exercise to try that, I think.
The best things about these challenges is that it forces you not to fall back on your habits,
mm-hmm.
which is so easy to do as a songwriter. And
yeah.
people say, oh, you know, some bands are very samey. It's because they're doing the same stuff. Because that's what humans do. Like, we will do the things that are easy. So pushing yourself to do stuff that's is hard is a worthwhile endeavor, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, in general, I mean, this challenge did push me a little bit into, you know, doing the compound time thing and doing that 3-4-4-3 mirror thing was kind of a new thing for me. So that was a bit of a different stretching there. So yeah, I guess it's a learning, but you know, but I have had it in my brain that I want to try more of these sort of, you know, anti-pop kind of more narrative focused, more kind of unstructured things. And I think I've done a few of them now and it's kind of working for me in some way.
Oh, cool.
But, you know, where you're not rhyming perfectly, melodies are different shapes, things are happening in a more organic manner.
That's really cool.
This one feels a little less organic, if anything, to me, but, you know.
Yeah.
I think just because I came up, like, did this, and then did this section, and then because kind of a little contrived, maybe.
Well, my answer to the song challenge is not nearly as complicated as this. So
fair enough, and that's fine. I mean,
that's true.
And certainly for our listeners, you know, feel free to pick one time signature and stick with it. Even 3-4,
yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah, that's nothing. Because if you haven't done it, it's a challenge, which is why we call it the Song Talk Radio Song Challenge.
That's right. Exactly.
Song challenge. Challenge. Song.
All right. Okay. Yeah, so I'm here in the band. I think that's all the time. Special thanks to us for holding this
Thank
challenge
you, Neil.
And all the challenges we've done. Thank you, Phil.
You've done great stuff.
Great idea. Great, good stuff. And of course, a reminder again for our listeners, November 10th is the deadline for listener songs to be submitted to us. Phil, your deadline is in 2 weeks.
Yeah. No, I've actually gotten pretty far on it, so I'm pretty happy with it.
Oh, yeah? Actually. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. Forward to hearing the completed version. And again, you know, listeners, your songs don't have to be complete. Like, I still would make some changes to this, I think, in the future. Maybe bring it to a meetup group and see what people think. Like, who knows? Like, it can breathe, live in different spaces right now.
That's really important. A lot of this, you know, our show is really about works in progress. So, like, if it's not completely done, that's totally fine, you know?
Yeah.
So...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We want to hear from everybody out there. So please send us your comments, Facebook or Instagram at Song Talk Radio. Send us an email, feedback@songtalk.ca. That's where you can send your songwriting challenge answers as well. Yeah. Also, be sure to check out our YouTube channel for live performance videos and full episodes. Subscribe today to the Song Talk Radio podcast on your favorite podcast provider. And please support us at our Patreon page. You can visit songtalk.ca/support. Thank you to everyone who supported us so far.
Thank you.
You can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned on the show on our resources page on the website. And please join us at our next monthly Song Talk meetup, whether you're in Toronto for in-person meetups or anywhere in the world for our online meetups. It's free to join on Eventbrite and free to attend the meetup. Bring a song and a lyric sheet and get constructive feedback from other songwriters. Stop by songtalk.ca for the link. You can follow me at neilmody.com. You can follow Phil.
Phillemery.ca.
And be sure to stop by the website, songtalk.ca, to browse past shows and find out how you can be a guest. Thanks for tuning in and
keep on writing.